Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here again from goldenblack.com, live in my car, driving down Northwestern Avenue, as always, looking out for college kids and coyotes in the road, driving home from Mackey Arena, this time following Purdue's 93-65 Big Ten ACC Challenge win over Florida State. Once again, you will be my entertainment during the 8 to 10 minute drive back to the old homestead. So this is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast. It is brought to you by Fouts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, and the Whitaker Inn, which once again I will be driving by here within a matter of minutes. So you know, I thought coming into this game, especially after I heard Florida State would be a little bit shorthanded, that this sort of outcome, you know, was possible. But you never really, you always have to kind of do a double take when you see something like this happen to Florida State. I mean, you know, Florida State doesn't get the credit it deserves for the sort of program it has, the consistency, the toughness it plays with, you know, the way that they really guard people and the way they just consistently win. The talent they've had over the years, all of that stuff. And, you know, Purdue's obviously really good. So good that they're going to be playing Friday night against Iowa for a chance to be number one in the country after Duke got beat at Ohio State tonight. But you really don't expect to see stuff like this happen to Florida State. No matter how good the opponent is, no matter whose floor they're playing on. And, you know, I think this was a big hump for Purdue to get over, because they've lost a couple of close games to Florida State over the years. Very different teams, obviously. But I thought that this was going to be a really good experience for Purdue, just playing Florida State the way they play and as tough as they are and all of that stuff. And, you know, as big of a test as I thought this would be, it really didn't turn out to be as much of a test as, you know, we would have thought. You know, Purdue is just an unreal offensive basketball team. I know it's been only 7 games and we're still in the warp reality portion of the college basketball season, where a lot of teams are going to, you know, turn into pumpkins when conference play starts. But everything about what Purdue is doing right now seems sustainable. There are no red flags whatsoever, aside from maybe the nitpicking of me talking about how many times Purdue turned the ball over in an unforced manner tonight against Florida State. But they won the game by 28 points, so me sitting here talking about turnovers seems a little bit excessive. But at the same time, you also have to, you know, Purdue has to keep getting better too. I mean, it's not even December 1st yet, or it will be December 1st soon. And, you know, the reason you play the non-conference schedule is not just to, you know, win when you're in the situation Purdue's in, where you're playing for seeding. Obviously, you need to get these wins. You need to put together a resume. But you're also hoping to get better and better with every game and every new experience. And I thought Florida State was really going to make Purdue better just from playing them. But the thing for Purdue, what I'm getting at here, is that, you know, the turnover issue is something Purdue's got to be laser focused on from here on out, because, you know, eventually, probably, and I keep saying this and it never happens, but you're going to have to not count on scoring 95 points or however many points you've been scoring every single game. Their low for the year is 80. They've been in 90 in 6 of the 7 games. Eventually, logic suggests you're going to have to win a game 72-67, something like that. And every possession is going to matter a little bit more. So you can't fritter away a half a dozen possessions that you don't have to fritter away and expect to win those games when they matter so much later in the season. Again, feels like nitpicking, but, you know, Purdue gifted Florida State at least 2 breakaway layups. It turned the ball over on what would have been a sure layup and what would have been a sure dunk, and Purdue missed a dunk. That doesn't go down as a turnover, but I'm throwing it in here for convenience. You take into account all 5 of those things together, that's a 10-point swing. And obviously that doesn't matter all that much when you win by 28. But when you win by 7, you know, as Purdue will probably have to do at some point later in the season, that's a pretty big deal. So Purdue would be wise to not look at the final scores of these games as much as the process there and what can still keep getting better and better. Because as good as you look right now, you know, there are still gaps that can be narrowed a little bit here in terms of your overall efficiency as a basketball program. But this is an unbelievable offensive basketball team. They really do have have everything. I mean, they keep shooting at an elite level. And the one thing that is kind of a weird thing to say is that you'd almost like to see them, you know, suck for a half shooting the basketball just to see how they handle it, just to see if they can really buckle down on defense and win a game that way, if they can really get the interior game going to compensate for the fact they're not making jump shots. But it's been seven games. It's not happened yet. I mean, there still hasn't even been like a stretch where they've not shot the ball well, let alone a half, let alone a game. So obviously that piece of the puzzle is in place. If it was going to be inconsistent, that probably would have manifested itself by now. You've got two nationally prominent big men on the interior. You've got ideal role players around them. You've got Caleb Furst as an ideal role player. Isaiah Thompson, ideal role player. Ethan Morton coming off the bench, ideal role player. Brandon Newman, instant offense off the bench when he's on, another ideal piece to this overall picture. But the thing that brings it all together, more so than the teams Purdue had a few years back, where they had the outside shooting and they had the interior game, is you have Jaden Ivey, who is an absolute elite college basketball player. He is a professional basketball player, just happens to be playing college basketball right now. He is the guy that brings this whole thing together. He is the guy that has brought this mix to the level that it's operating at right now. When you have a guy who can break down a defense, who can be such a threat in the open floor, who can get to the basket basically whenever he wants, but also when he draws that extra defender, makes good decisions, moves the basketball, gets you open threes, I don't know how you stop these guys, to be honest with you, when he's operating at that level with all of the pieces around him. They've just got it all offensively right now. And I always try to temper what I say, especially this early in the season. But again, you can look as close as you want. You can look for negative things all you want, whatever it may be. There's just not a whole lot of red flags being flown here by Purdue from an offensive perspective. Now, you got to get better defensively. As I mentioned before, you got to, in the Big Ten, you got to be able to win games at the defensive end of the floor. In the NCAA tournament, many months from now, many weeks from now, whatever it is, you are going to have to get stops at the end of close games against teams that are just as good as you, if not better than you. We'll see where everyone is nationally at that time of year. But they got to get better defensively, but they also have to help their defense offensively. They have to keep those unforced turnovers to an absolute minimum. You can't give the opponents easy points the way they gave Florida State a couple times. Again, I'm talking about like 4 points they gave Florida State in a game you won by 28. But it is all relative. It's about habits. It's not necessarily about outcomes here. It's about habits. And that's one area where Purdue just has to be ultra diligent about on a day-to-day basis, game-to-game basis, possession-to-possession, half-to-half, whatever. Purdue just is too good to be helping its opponent. And Purdue had 13 turnovers tonight. That's not an unreasonable number. But it is the one thing you can kind of pick at in an otherwise really, really impressive picture. So that is a really good problem to have when, you know, you're sitting here having just beaten a really good program by 28 points on your home floor to the point now where you might be number one in the country come Monday if you can beat Iowa on your home floor Friday night. And we're sitting here talking about turnovers. That is a really good problem to have, because the turnover issue was not a horrible problem tonight, but it was one of very, very few problems. And I think that you can apply that statement to Purdue's whole season thus far. Purdue has a lot going for it. Purdue is a really good team. If they're number one in the country come Monday, I don't think anybody should look at that and say they're not legit, because they are absolutely positively legit. This is a really, really, I don't want to say once in a lifetime sort of basketball team for Purdue, but this is a special team for Purdue, and this is a real opportunity for Purdue to do something really big this year with this group they have now. So I'm about to drive past the Whitaker Inn. That's my cue to start wrapping this thing up, because I'm almost home. So once again, from Purdue's 93-65 win over Florida State in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, this is Brian Newbert from goldenblack.com. Thank you once again to our sponsors, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Fouts Purdue Bookstores, the East End Grill and Ripple & Company, and the Whitaker Inn, which I am driving by right now. Let's hope they keep all their deer in the road, in the field next door, as opposed to being in the road here as I drive by. So thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you again Friday night after Purdue opens Big Ten play against Iowa. And then it will be Rutgers in Piscataway, and then it'll be NC State in Brooklyn. So we'll talk to you from all three places, starting with Iowa in Mackey. So thanks, everybody.